Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Feel bad for really anyone who had interactions with Alec Murdaugh. Obviously, he was someone who could get people underneath his wing and make them believe that, oh, this is going to be great. This is a great idea. I got this power. We can make some money, buddy. All of that. Some people ran. Some people stayed. One person who stayed for quite some time, Russell Lafitte, former head of Palmetto State Bank. Joining us to discuss Russell is Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent and Hidden Killers contributor. Lafitte, sentenced now to 7 years in federal prison for assisting Alec Murdaugh in stealing more than $2 million from clients' legal settlements. Lafitte still to this day says, I didn't realize what the depths of what I was doing here. He did apologize, but continues to minimize his role in the financial scheme. Is he continuing to minimize his role in the financial scheme because that's truly what reality is and everyone wants to watch everyone who had everything to do with Alex Murdaugh burn to the ground? Or is this someone who, you know, this is truly just and he probably did get more involved, maybe not initially intentionally, but as the water got hotter, he started to boil and didn't realize it?
These individuals like him who are involved in these complicated financial schemes know exactly what they're doing. They save these self-serving statements at the end to sort of, you know, try to convince individuals that they didn't really know. And they'll convince some of that. But if you've ever worked in white-collar crime, these guys are amazing in terms of money laundering, in terms of how they see through these schemes, through their financial institutions. They are no dummies. They're very well educated. They know what's happening with every dime that's moved back and forth. And I'm not buying what he's saying. I think it was self-serving, and I think it was a just conviction.
Are individuals like this harder to catch? I suppose there's two ways of looking at it. There's the black and white of the paper where you can take a look at the crimes and actually see them play out. But in terms of personality, are they harder to catch because it's not what you think of as a criminal? We're talking white collar crimes. These are often leaders of communities. They're family people. They have good standing a lot of times in their communities and tend to do some good. While in the background, where nobody's watching, there's ways of making money that are not so on the up and up.
Well, you make such a good point because they're typically not violent. They are leaders in their communities. They're typically very well off, which a lot of people look at very highly, you know, highly regard people who live in nice houses and drive nice cars and, you know, make charitable contributions at your school. But nevertheless, they actually really victimized so many people who were involved in these scams. And they involved, you know, people who are very ignorant in the ways sometimes of money. And I think it's just shameful what a white-collar criminal will do just because of their greed and because they know how to manipulate others. So I agree with you. It's sometimes difficult to want to prosecute them from that regard, from the, you know, them being pillars in their community, so to speak. But it's quite easy when you look at the victims and see what they've done in terms of stealing the money.
Once identified, I would imagine the paper trail is pretty easy to take a look at the set of facts that come out of it. But getting there and having someone raise the red flag is what usually needs to happen first, or someone needs to see some sort of discrepancy and go, well, how did this happen? Are these people around us far more common than I think a lot of us think or like to think in terms of our financial institutions or just white-collar business in general?
They are very more common. And what's really concerning is that oftentimes their crimes are not egregious enough to be filed in terms of a federal authority, and they fall sometimes in a degree that is more difficult for a local authority to handle. And so a lot of these crimes can fall through the cracks, and, you know, where federal authorities just don't have the resources if it's not as egregious. Particularly, we have money limits. Sometimes it's up to $1 million. If the fraud isn't at least $1 million, the Bureau won't even get involved in it. So wow. Here you have these local authorities that are now trying to struggle with their own issues, right? Because they're investigating every type of crime that there is.
Yep.
And yet these white collar crimes take so much time and so much. It's such a paper trail.
Yep.
And the amount of also expertise you need to really do a forensic examination of bank records and wire transfers, it's extensive. So, yes, it's prevalent, and so often I think the crimes do get overlooked and not investigated.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.